Thank you. And thanks to Ernest and everyone for having me here today. I don't know if you all can hear me.
Yes.
Good volume. Okay. I think I was with, maybe it was the CARE board, probably about a year and change ago or something like that. And it does feel like the earth has shifted underneath us quite a bit since that last meeting when I was with some of the folks in this room. We recently just came back from one of our two big annual conferences in San Diego, one of our NAC conferences with a lot of our members. Over 2,000 of our members were there. And for me, that's always really a great opportunity to take the pulse about, you know, what's going on out there in the field with health centers across the country. And, you know, it's always so energizing for me to be amongst our people and to kind of see the amazing work that they're doing. And it gives us a lot of energy to come back to this place of doom and gloom that is Washington, D.C., because I feel like our, you know, health center folks are just so positive and optimistic. And, you know, they always see the path forward, even when sometimes it's challenging. But I do feel like at this moment, it just struck me how much is really on their plates at this moment in time, and I'm sure it's the same for every person in this room. And what I was getting is, you know, they're being asked to do so many things. You know, number one, in this challenging environment, not only federally, but with state budgets and with, you know, issues involving Medicaid payments and issues involving, you know, direct funding from states and, you know, a changing environment, changing political situation, you know, first and foremost, they're trying to keep their doors open. You know, they're trying to make sure that they, you know, have adequate resources to, you know, do the basic functions of running, you know, a business, basically. But at the same time, they're trying to, you know, preserve the mission and the model. So really be true to what health centers are all about, which is doors open to everybody, you know, seeing everyone who comes through the door, which, you know, continues to be increasingly uninsured. You know, dealing with a shifting payment, you know, makeup even amongst existing patients, while at the same time, you know, their communities are enduring really continued economic downturn and really no signs of recovery in a lot of the places where health centers are located. At the same time, they're being asked to and they feel, you know, motivated to be leaders, you know, nationally in terms of primary care innovation. So they're trying to be at the forefront of developing new payment models and be participants in ACOs and, you know, get medical home certification and get advanced medical home certification and to really try and be innovators. At the same time, they're facing these enormous challenges to keep, you know, even doing what they've been doing. And at the same time, you know, then they have us, NAC, and a lot of other people asking them to be the best grassroots advocates that there can possibly be, you know, in the country and to make that an organizational priority. And in this period of time where, you know, the federal government is making so many monumental changes regarding spending, we're asking them to, you know, step up and to, you know, be tremendous grassroots advocates and to do advocacy and make that a core part of their organization's priorities. So they're balancing all of these things. And, you know, that's just kind of the overarching, you know, overlay of all of the details that I'll just touch on briefly. But that's kind of the sense I get is, you know, people are just trying to, you know, do it all. And, you know, they're being asked to do it all. And, you know, they're really committed to doing it all. But it's challenging in this environment. So a little bit, I should have let off with this, about, you know, NAC, for those who don't know us. We are also a trade association, you could say, representing all of the federally funded health centers in the country. About two-thirds of health centers are our members, so, you know, actually belong to NAC, but we advocate on behalf of everybody. So about 1,200 health center organizations and 8,000 sites nationwide, just over 20 million patients. And, you know, we do a whole host of things, but I wear a hat of federal advocacy. We have other parts of our organization that are involved in clinical issues and workforce and, you know, the training in TA about running a health center, but I'm in our legislative shop. So that's largely what I'll be focusing my comments on, though a little bit regulatory as well. I think the biggest issue facing us, you know, as a movement nationally you know, is really basic, which is, as we look at the implementation of health reform, is capacity. And I think that's something that, you know, everybody in this room probably shares as well. You know, we know that there are going to be millions of newly insured individuals. They live in the places where we are located. They have enormous, you know, health challenges. I'm from Massachusetts, as some of you know, and we know from Massachusetts that, you know, with the implementation of health reform, we have, you know, right off the bat, in the first year, 50,000 new patients at health centers, many times that, you know, as implementation rolled out. And we know that a lot of those people who came through the door, you know, had delayed care because of, you know, prior not being able to receive access. They were, you know, sicker, and they needed a lot of resources. And so heading into health reform, this was our number one priority at NAC, was making sure that the capacity would be there to serve these newly insured. And when I was here a little over a year ago, I talked about the fact that we were pretty excited about what came out of ACA, the $11 billion guaranteed investment to help us really build that capacity, to double our number of patients over a five-year period, and to really be ready to serve as the healthcare home to the newly insured. You know, that future is a little more uncertain today than it was last time I was here. In 2011, we had a $600 million reduction to health centers' base appropriation. That was offset in part by our 2011 healthcare reform, you know, trust fund allocation. But we had a lot of other existing activities that needed to be maintained as well. And the sum total of it is that where HRSA had planned to open 350 new health centers this year, they will now only be opening 67. And where HRSA had planned to provide expansion funding to all 1,100 health center organizations in the country to expand their hours, their medical capacity, their dental, behavioral, pharmacy, and vision services, they'll now be awarding zero expansion grants. So it's very stark in terms of the impact of that discretionary appropriations reduction that relied on our health reform money to offset it. In 2012, you know, we hope that we'll end up on the plus side and do some of those health center expansions and, you know, fund some of those pending applications. Some of you in this room I know probably have pending applications. We have right now sitting at HRSA over 700 applications for new health centers that have been submitted that are waiting to hopefully get funded. And we have 1,100 of those expansions that are sitting there waiting to get funded. So HRSA will be able to fund those if they get new resources in 2012. But again, you know, that's unclear as we sit here right now. We'll know more soon when the Senate Appropriations Committee releases their number in a few hours, hopefully. But we really felt like we had, you know, a good plan and good resources to implement it. But at this point in time, there's a lot more uncertainty on that capacity question, and we're very concerned about that. We don't want all of the newly insured, in particular, you know, the 17 million new Medicaid patients going to the ER as a source of primary care. It's going to be bad for their health, and it's going to be far more costly than if they were getting high-quality primary care. So that's, I would say, our overarching number one concern. We also have other, you know, challenges as we look at ACA implementation. One is, you know, this movement towards integration, which I think health centers are excited about. We've always been a healthcare home model, and the more integrated care is, the higher quality is, the more coordinated it is. But we want to integrate while maintaining autonomy. You know, it's been a core kind of principle of our health center model that we have community control and patient control, where patient majority boards is one of our requirements that we have, you know, fought very hard over decades to maintain. And we don't want to lose that patient consumer autonomy over the health center model. So we'll be trying to integrate, but also trying to maintain control over what we do within the walls of the health center. So that'll be a big challenge. We also will really hope to try and be part of you know, the networks, you know, Andrea mentioned this, but, you know, making sure that health centers are part of the new exchange plans that we are contracted with and that we're paid adequately. That was another piece that we worked on very hard in health reform. And we do have some good provisions in statute, but as all of you who are right now commenting on this, you know, rulemaking process know, you're translating those statutory pieces of language into a final rule is, you know, quite a process. So we want to make sure that health centers and our patients aren't excluded, you know, through a rulemaking process that isn't very, very strong. There's a question for me to speak to HIT, and that's another thing that I think will help health centers to integrate even as we try and maintain autonomy. We have about 40-something percent of health centers with HIT right now and a lot more with practice management, but, you know, we have so much more to do on that front to be the level of healthcare home that we want to be. The EHR incentives from ARA are going to be hugely, hugely important to that effort. That's rolling out right now, state by state, as a lot of you know. And I think there's just enormous excitement amongst health centers as their states come online with those EHR incentives to be able to, you know, really do something that I think all health centers have wanted to do, but you know, the financial challenges are just enormous with doing that. So I think, you know, I hope I'll sit here in a couple years from now and say, you know, we have, you know, 80% to 100% of HIT adoption in health centers. And I think the ARA funding is going to do a lot to help make that happen, the Medicaid incentives in particular. But as we adopt HIT, we're also going to be really working on, you know, what are, and this is a big issue for our clinical committee and for those folks who do a lot of thinking about this who, you know, are a lot smarter than me, but we have to think about what are we being asked to report and what happens with that information. Right now, health centers, you know, have, like Ryan White providers, like a lot of other folks, a lot of reporting requirements on us. We have the uniform data system, and we report extensively about everything that goes on in health centers. And as we move to an HIT system and we move to kind of a medical home environment, as other payers or other entities, even within the federal government, are asking health centers to report, we want to make sure we're not duplicating efforts or making it insanely burdensome by having two parallel systems of reporting, but that we have one integrated system. I won't, you know, get into the details yet about Ryan White, but I will just kind of put out there as a final piece of challenge that health centers are having, and I know there's a lot of folks from California in the room, so you know about this better than anybody, but just as we move to an environment where more people are on Medicaid or alternative insurance plans, making sure that we have real access, meaningful access. You know, that was something I touched on with the capacity issue, but it's more than just capacity. It's about the quality of care that's being delivered. And our folks in California are encountering this with, you know, as they move to a new insurance rubric, making sure that it's not a lesser version of care than what people were receiving with Ryan White. But I think that's going to flow throughout all of our issues as health centers and all of our issues, you know, as providers who care for patients with HIV, is just making sure that the quality of care doesn't go down as we move to a new form of coverage. And so, you know, that's something we're very concerned about and I think is going to be popping up constantly as we have this dramatic shift from the current world to the new insurance world. So I'll leave it at that, but I'm sure we have a lot more to talk about.